You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play. Plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game. All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order.
You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart-loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight, and let's go.
Here we go! It is a Thursday, May 7, 2026. Thank you for downloading. We've got Scott and Solly from our Monday conversation on their home court before we get to the end of the week, and you subscribers, you loyal 1%ers, who get the boys with me on my home court just about every week. I can't say every single week. Sometimes schedules do not align. Looking forward to that. Before we get to them, though, a lot of stuff happened all over the place, including a push for what looks to be inevitable, even though it's going to take a little while to get there. A 24-team NCAA Division I college football playoff. Yes, 24. That's the number. And boy, oh boy, the coaches are pushing hard for it. And why wouldn't they? They want job security. They want to be able to say, you can't fire me. I made the playoff. Yeah, well, you were the 24th seed and you lost 56-6 and you were out in the first round. Why are we going to keep you? You're out of here. I think there are some arguments in theory on paper you could make for it. There's obviously money that can and will be made of it. But I don't think there's a lot of people asking for it, per se. And they are also talking about eliminating the conference championship games, which is a whole separate argument unto itself, but it all lies in the big tangled stew of what can you tangle, Stu? It lies in the big tangled ball of yarn that is this desire to play all these games in a very compressed schedule and then to get out of the way of the National Football League and their playoffs. And so the push is for 24 teams, no conference championships, start a week earlier, and then wrap up the playoffs, wrap it all up by the second week of January. Okay, good luck with that. And yes, there's going to be broadcast entities and streaming entities that are going to bid on these expanded playoffs. And they will provide some amazing moments and games and opportunities for ethical and responsible wagering, like you do on the official place to wager here on the Zabecast. That would be mybookie.com, promo code Zabe, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. By the way, right now, UFC on MyBookie is hot. Great lines there. If you like betting on UFC, mybookie.com, the place to go. Also, if you like wagering on golf, that's always fun as well. Mybookie.com. But I digress. So there'll be wagering opportunities. There'll be good games. There'll be moments. And there may be a Cinderella that makes its way through the winding bracket of 24 and plays for the Tackle Football Championship. I doubt it. I think we're going to know basically who the best teams are, the 4, 5, or 6 at most. And so it's not going to do anything other than make money for now. And I emphasize that because you don't know which way the tides are going to go in terms of appetites for spending for sports rights. We don't know when we've reached a saturation point where it's like, I can't eat anymore. There's actually a story about how ESPN, even though Disney was thinking about spinning it off as its own entity apart from the mouse ear books, they've decided, the new CEO has decided to keep it on board. But there's a problem. ESPN is no longer a cash cow. It is, according to their latest financial filings, a pretty much flat business that may be headed the wrong way in the years to come. Now, the NFL is yet to sit down. Goodell is yet to sit down and say, hi, it's the NFL here. We know ESPN, Disney, you pay the most money of anybody for all of our games and access and all the other accompanying rights to the National Football League, but we're going to need more. If they were to have that conversation with Disney right now and with ESPN, ESPN may choke. Because if the NFL said we want 40% more, that's enough to send ESPN's current balance sheet into a spiral. So we don't know how long the extra money is going to last from the 2014 playoff and whoever's going to bid on it. We don't know the interest in it. We don't know the ability to sell tickets for it or a whole host of other things. But man, are they pushing for it. And the effects of a 2014 playoff is going to fully, really water down and neuter the regular season. Oh, you're not going to watch? Didn't say I wasn't going to watch. I just said it's going to water it down. And you already have the problem now of rivalry games. Many of them got blown up with all the conference realignments. And some of them still persist despite that, like the Apple Cup, even though that's not... Wait, the Apple Cup is Washington and Washington State, right? The Civil War, Oregon State, that was preserved even though the conference got split in two. Oregon survived, and Oregon State had to defend their own way. The point is, somebody said, so when are we going to play these rivalry games, Auburn-Alabama, Michigan-Ohio State, with this new schedule that wants to get all these games in, want to have this big of a playoff, and then, you know, no conference championship game, what's going to happen? Somebody said, well, we might have that Michigan-Ohio State game in week 5. And I joked, how about week -1, August 18th, in 92-degree heat? It's the Buckeyes and the Wolverines, everybody. Blistering day here at the big house, 92 degrees. People were having fun with me on Twitter about this, and I said, don't forget, probably a neutral site. It'll probably be a neutral site game, Zabe, from Dallas for Michigan, Ohio State to start the year in week -1, which I added, oh, and don't forget, exclusively streaming on Paramount Cock Prime Plus. To which somebody said, no, Zabe, it's Prime Cock Mount Plus. I just sort of laugh and I shrug my shoulders. I can't stop it. You can't stop it. If you don't think it's a good idea, like I don't think it's a good idea, if I didn't ask for it and you didn't ask for it and you like things more or less the way they were, it's gonna happen. Just like we're at 76 teams now in the NCAA tournament, and we're going to be probably more sooner than you can say, hey, wait a minute, thought we were done here. Reddit College Football on Twitter says, I thought of a 24-team playoff format that actually solves basically everything. Okay, go on. Top four teams face off head-to-head. Mm-hmm. The winners play in a national championship. Hey, this sounds kind of familiar. The other 20 teams are paired up in meaningful neutral site games to celebrate a great season and give us something to watch and wager on during the holidays. Yes. Yes, I think that system works just fine.
Oh, you don't forget the year that Georgia got screwed. They were left out.
There's going to be those years, people. Do we really absolutely need more? The answer is no. Skip Bayless is coming back to ESPN one day only. First Take. Him and Stephen A. Smith. Battle Royale. The two blowhards are hyping it up as if it's going to be some prize fight. Bayless, who has not been on ESPN in 10 years, hasn't been on Fox Sports in 2 years after the ugly fallout of the hairdresser allegations and sexual misconduct and solicitations of, I'll pay you $1 million to sleep with you. Skip Bayless, let me look up his age. Skip Bayless is doing a podcast now, and I don't know if it's doing great or not. It doesn't seem to be having much impact. I don't know who actually listens to Skip Bayless and says, man, he makes a really good point. I never thought of that before. That's quite interesting from old Skipper. Skip Bayless is 74 years old. And I know you're going to say, what, are you jealous that he is still doing what he loves? What he thinks he was put on this earth to do, to debate sports topics? At 74, he's in great shape, works out all the time, still has good hair. Okay. He's 74. Like, at what point do you just go, I got nothing left to prove or to say? But television does tend to attract the borderline sociopath narcissists. And Bayless certainly would qualify as one of them. So Friday, he is going to be with Stephen A. Smith. The interesting thing is that Bobby Burak on Outkick.com points out that all the shows on ESPN are getting this new Nielsen ratings bump of about 15%. Because Nielsen adjusted how they account for viewership by including what's called data plus big panel, which accounts for more streaming and out-of-home viewing like bars and restaurants and everything else. So just about everything's getting 15% extra, except First Take. SportsCenter plus 15%, GetUp plus 15%, First Take, 3%. And they just paid Stephen A. $100 million. Stephen A. once said, I will never have Skip on again. The time has passed. We've done what we did. It's time to move on. Bayless tweeted in all caps, counting down to 10 a.m. Eastern this Friday. I've been saving up 10 years of disagreements with him. I'm gonna unleash like I've never done before. I love him like a brother, but brothers argue. I hope he's ready, because I sure am. 10 a.m. Eastern, Friday. First response was, y'all just going to argue about Braun, Goat, Clutch Gene, Heart of Hearts, Jake Laravia more clutch than Braun, and then make a left turn with the Dallas Cowboys. I guess somebody watches that stuff. I don't know anyone that actually watches and cares. Live Golf is in the DMV. It's in Virginia. I was there today picking up my credential. Watched a little bit of the players practicing. Nobody was there. Fans were not, I don't think, allowed on property. They'll be for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because, you know, they're 72 holes now. There's a concert Saturday night by some country music guy I've never heard of, but I'm thinking about, I'd like to make a day of day drinking at Liv in somebody's nice sort of luxury suite tent pavilion, corporate hospitality. If anyone is planning to go that's listening right now that either has an extra ticket or just wants to hang out and pound some seltzers in the sun, I think I can make a day of that. Let's go. Anyway, it's a dead tour walking. And the stuff that their CEO, Scott O'Neill, said early in the week were borderline hilarious. This is what he said. Joel Beal tweeted, "Imagine blowing $8 billion before finally deciding, hey, we should probably figure out what we're doing here." This is what Scott O'Neill, the CEO, said. Quote, "The priorities are very clear. First and foremost, we need to get the players settled, on board, and focusing on golf. That's first and foremost. Secondly, we've got to create a plan that's a business plan. A business that works from a business standpoint, from a profit and loss standpoint, like every other business in the world, and we are well on our way to doing that." We're on our way. We're on our way. What about the $8 billion you're in the hole? Never mind that. "Thirdly, and maybe more importantly, and I've been blessed with this my entire life," he says, "is you surround yourself with smart, talented, and experienced people." Somebody said, that live presser from O'Neill reads exactly like Michael Scott pitching the Michael Scott Paper Company. I believe somebody I know, or somewhere I read, did a pretty good parallel, point-by-point comparison of Liv with the Michael Scott Paper Company. That, yes, Michael Scott Paper Company was losing money, but it was just doing enough to harm actually Dunder Mifflin. And so it was a pain in the ass. They finally bought Michael out and brought him back. What a great episode that was. Oh, but not episode, multiple episodes. A little tangent to the story arc of the whole show. Fucking brilliant. But yeah, the CEO. "We need to create a plan that's a business plan, a business that works from a business standpoint, from a profit and loss standpoint, like every other business in the world. We're well on our way to doing that." You know, you said business four times in one paragraph. Don't know if that's inspiring anybody. Bryson DeChambeau was shocked at the LIV losing its funding from the Saudis. He told Alan Bastable of golf.com that when he heard the news that they were not funded through 2032 as he had thought they were, that it was only through this year they were pulling the rest of it, he said, "There's no way. That's freaking impossible." No, it's not. Like Darth Vader said, they've altered the deal. Pray we don't alter it further. Could have pulled the plug this year. Just said, yeah, we're going to try to get our deposits back on these other golf courses. Of course, DeChambeau, totally detached from any semblance of, okay, bro, you're crazy, right? He said that, you know what? I'll do what I have to do. Said that I will play any tour that wants me, because he's going to face a difficult path back to the PGA Tour, and then do YouTube. He says he wants to build his YouTube channel to 2X, 3X, or more of what it is currently. I don't know what his current viewers is. Said he thinks that he could do some dubs in other languages. Yeah, I want to do some dubbing of some golf trick shots and stuff in other languages. Okay, sure. You're going to be the Mr. Beast of YouTube golf. And then what, playing four majors a year? Good luck being at all good doing that. But DeChambeau also said, first thing is, everyone needs to drop the egos here. Oh, really? The egos need to get dropped, he says. This was one beat after saying about the PGA Tour regarding a potential punishment, quote, "It'd be quite unfortunate, in my opinion, if he's punished, considering what I could do for them." He said everybody needs to come in with a level-headed playing field, an opportunistic mindset to grow the game of golf. That's why I came over here. That's why I do what I do on YouTube. He pointed out that, hey, let's be honest, they've got the PGA Tour isn't doing great either. They've got the media. They've got everybody on their side that helps pump it up, but they're reducing field sizes, cutting employees, and more. Well, he's not entirely wrong, but the PGA Tour is like an ongoing business that will be durable to be around next year and the year after that. They're going to probably pull some purses and dial some things back and reconfigure the schedule. But, yeah, grow the game of golf. You grew your bank account, buddy. Now you're probably going to be looking for a place to play. On the topic of bank accounts, nobody is greedier or more corrupt than FIFA, the international soccer governing body. When they decided to give a World Cup to North America, mostly the USA, but bleeding into, I believe, Canada and Mexico for, I think, a match or two, they thought they were going to make a mint, the juicy underbelly of the American economy and soccer fan that never gets to see the top teams and the top players on American soil, combined with robust tourism to come to the States from other countries. Ooh, boy, we gonna make a mint. It's looking like a bust. We're 6 weeks out, and every host city is reporting a massive glut of hotel rooms and unsold tickets. I see it in multiple markets, reading from the KansasCityStar.com or KansasCity.com. The thing nobody wants to say out loud is getting harder to ignore, writes David Hudnall. Kansas City's World Cup is shaping up to be a bust. Oh, there's a lot of factors. Yes, the insane prices for the tickets is one. Fears of international travel in the current day and age is another. And then, I guess, the Trump administration put it out there that if you're coming here from certain countries like Algeria, you need to post a $15,000 bond in advance in order to prove that you're ready to leave. Like, you come here to watch the games? Yeah, you're not just going to come here, say, I'm here to watch some soccer, and then not leave. It only applies to a couple countries, but it'd be interesting to see as we get closer. Does the hotel market even out? Does the ticket market completely crash? One report says that tickets that were expected to sell in the thousands are now being sold at $100 a piece. We shall see. I love it when people find me again. Not dead. I just might have died at your former favorite radio station or network. I'm not dead, though. This one from MP Minimum on Twitter, responding to my clip from several weeks ago from our Palm Power Lunch with the ladies, Carol and Julie. MP writes, this was a great show. Well, thank you. Haven't listened to Steve in years, but happy to find him again. Ah, I've been found. I used to listen on radio when the Leinenkugel brothers would do a weekly segment. Carol and Julie were terrific. Well, thank you, and I'm glad you found me. Now the trick is for you to keep on listening and downloading and maybe subscribing. Just a $5 a month donation would get you in that 1% club. Get Fridays. Get ad-free Monday through Thursday. Come on now. The Oklahoma City Thunder are up 1-0 on the Lakers. And the Lakers played better than a lot of people would have thought. But, you know, OKC is a really, really good team. SGA is a really, really good player. But the fucking flopping is beyond acceptable. It is disgusting. And more people are pointing it out. There was an absolute sizzle reel of 7 or 8 different flops by SGA, by other members of the Thunder. And it's just really bad for the league. You know, a lot of people think that tanking and or load management has been the worst thing for the league. This right here, if the Thunder get all the way to the finals and win the finals again, and they keep doing this every game they play, every step of the way, it's not going to be good for the NBA. The Star Wars discussion from earlier in the week did not hit everyone's sweet spot. I know. I get it. I'm serious when I say I'm not a really big Star Wars fanatic. I'm just curious. I think it's okay to have a curious mind about things you may not totally love. The movie biz is interesting to me. Struggling, obviously. But the whole thing with Disney buying the biggest purchase at $4 billion of a single intellectual property concept, like the whole Star Wars universe from George Lucas. is that they did it for reasons that I now understand have completely failed. They did it because Disney, with all of its princesses and all of its animated stuff, sold a lot of cheap furry toys to girls. But girls are only half the market. What do boys want to buy? And they're like, I know, Star Wars shit. So they bought Star Wars for $4 billion, largely under the premise of, we'll be able to sell more toys now and license more things. But what happened is, once they had the rights to the story and decided, okay, we're going to launch this trio of sequels to extend the Star Wars saga, they let a bunch of feminists and women and woke propagandists completely hijack the whole genre, and it's fucking tanked. There's now talk of somehow Disney pretending that the Star Wars sequel trilogy is in an existence of a world between worlds, so it effectively doesn't exist. They're going to try to ignore it. They're going to try to set it out to the shed like Crazy Uncle Eddie and lock the door and just ignore it. But many people, including Matt Miller, who texted me after I sent a couple links to the stories, said, you can't do that. They happened. People saw them. They were real. Like, this is not how it works. They also thought at the time, they're like, well, people hate the sequels now, but in 10 years, they'll be as beloved as the prequels. Well, 10 years later, they're still very much hated. And it looks like the Disney acquisition of Star Wars was a complete flop. Seinfeld. In a recent interview, Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David were asked to list their top four favorite Seinfeld episodes. Now, that's tough. That's like saying, give us your four favorite children if you've taught 100 different children over the years. I don't know how many total Seinfeld episodes there are, but I'm guessing it's close to that. Jerry said his top four were The Contest, The Soup Nazi, The Merv Griffin Show, and The Marine Biologist. Those are four really good ones. Larry David said his top four were The Contest as well, The Opposite, The Puffy Shirt, and The Pen. As I started to think about this, I'm like, oh, but wait a minute, what about this one? Oh, wait a minute, what about that one? There's a ton more. When this show was absolutely at full stride, and you got to muck through season one because it was awful, season one. But once it got up to a gallop and then was running, week after week after week. I only wish you younger folks could live in a day and age in which there were things called TV shows that we would all gather together and wait for it to air once a week and then be able to go into the office the next day and talk about it as a society. We don't have that anymore. High school basketball, Indiana. Dan Dockich celebrates the recent proposal by Indiana State High School Basketball Association to institute a 35-second shot clock. Indiana, much like Wisconsin, famously does not have a high school shot clock. The reasoning, at least it is in Wisconsin, I don't know about Indiana, is that, you know, it's a little bit tricky to administer. You got to reset the shot clock after the ball hits the rim. There's other certain rules to it. It's not as easy as just keeping the running clock. And that there is a distinct lack of volunteers at the high school level to run these clocks and these things at the smaller schools and the smaller towns throughout Wisconsin. And they've been trying to get this passed. You know, you'll get a high-level Wisconsin boys high school game without a shot clock, and if one team decides to just take the air out of the ball and four corners it, nothing you can do. It's a 6-4 halftime score. It's abysmal. It sucks. My feeling is you should absolutely implement it, even if it is uneven or perhaps difficult to staff. Get a parent, figure out how to do the 35-second shot clock. Can't AI do it? But I guess Indiana also doesn't want to do the 35-second shot clock. And Dan Dockich says no need for a shot clock. High school sports aren't supposed to prepare players for the next level. It's simply competition between schools. No clock is the way the game is to be played at that level, at least in Indiana. I applaud the decision. That is a very old school Luddite opinion from Dockich, but okay. I do think it's fair to say you should be preparing these kids to play in college. There will be a shot clock in college for sure. Stefon Diggs has been acquitted in absolutely record speed to the litany of horrible crimes he was accused of and taken to court for and faced a possibility of 5 years in jail over regarding his ex-chef slash housekeeper slash side piece. The woman that testified just was an abysmal witness. Absolutely lying, didn't answer questions, was being admonished by the judge, kept saying, "I don't understand. Can you restate that?" They were reading her text messages in which she was being caught in blatant lies, and she just sat there and said in a little mousy voice, I don't know. Can you repeat the question? I don't understand." She tried to claim client attorney privilege, which didn't apply. At one point, she asked the prosecutor, "I'm sorry, what was your name again?" And this is why I have always been against what the NFL used to do, but didn't do in this case. Previously, 5 years ago, a case like this would come up, and the NFL would instantly park the player. They would have put Stephon Diggs, in this instance, they would have parked him for the playoffs, into their so-called, I forget what they dubbed it, but I called it the parking lot of, well, these allegations are horrible. Domestic abuse, strangulation, sexual assault. Could be true. We're going to put the player over here. He's still going to get paid, but he just can't play until this is resolved in court, which takes months, if not years. And I said, this is fucking crazy. The player should play until he's proven in a court of law to be guilty.
Well, what then if, a year and a half later, he's found guilty and you were playing him the whole time? I'm like, it's better to do that than to be parking guys who are being framed by women who are lying through their teeth. Oh, and that's another thing. I guess we don't believe all women now. We should have never believed all women. Believe the evidence is what it should have been, not believe all women. What a stupid phrase that was. This woman was a lying, shameless, 70 IQ grifter who tried to flip Stephon Diggs for $5 million. Probably could have flipped him for $100,000 just to go away, but she was too dumb and too greedy to do so. And why the prosecution even took this case to court? Because remember, the prosecutors always have this ability to go, yeah, you know what? We don't think the case is strong enough. We're not going to try it. Well, I'm looking at the lawyer who was the court-appointed lawyer for this woman. Or maybe she paid for the guy. He looks like an absolute law school dropout. Barely probably passed the bar exam. Bald, round guy with an ugly-looking beard, frizzy hair. And he had to get up there and defend this woman, Ms. Adams. Here's how he tried to do it.
So.
First of all, the big exhale as he's addressing the jury. Thank God, by the way, for courtroom cameras in the state of New York.
Was Ms. Adams a perfect witness? No. She was argumentative, avoided, difficult. But does that mean you should throw away everything she says? She said?
Yeah, kind of. If that's what your case is, if there's no other evidence, no physical evidence, no corroborating evidence, no eyewitness evidence, then yeah. If she was all those things, should you throw all that stuff away?
Argumentative.
Lying.
Difficult. But does that mean you should throw away everything she says? She said? No. I think it'd be easy for you guys to do that, but that's not your job. You guys are the jury. It's your job, your sacred duty, to comb over every bit of evidence you heard, to consider it, to give it the attention it deserves.
Which they did, about 5 minutes.
It deserves. You don't have to like Ms. Adams. You don't have to like the way she testified today and yesterday.
In fact, I kind of hate this bitch too.
But you do have to give her and her testimony the attention it deserves.
Yeah, we gave it the attention. She was completely full of shit. believe all women. No. Some women lie. And they lie ruthlessly and for the most insanely greedy and malicious reasons. Believe all evidence is what they should do. And hopefully the NFL is now finally learning, yeah, this whole, you know, reserve suspended list, it's just a bad idea. Quick break when we come back. Scott and Solly from earlier in the week. You are listening to the Zabecast. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
Wait, who was the magic coach? You just got fired. I've already forgotten his name.
Jamal Mosley.
You're right. Look at that.
Only because I watched game seven on Sunday. That's probably the only reason I knew it was Jamal Mosley.
How about the game six disaster? That one is a one for the record.
So, do you charge a coach? And by the way, it's Tuesday. Zabe's here. Solly's here. I'm here. Yes. I'm glad you're here as well. Does this go on the coach's bill when a team misses 23 straight shots? Tell me why.
It goes straight to his room bill. You're the guy that has to figure out what's going wrong. What can we do differently? If you don't fire a coach who collapses that, then you're basically just saying, well, we don't even need a coach. Like, we're just going to roll the ball.
You might not be wrong. They could hire anybody for basketball, right? Come on.
I suppose. No. How could you not fire a guy like that? Especially when these NBA coaches are so replaceable, so interchangeable.
Right. You know, that
guy in.
That is what happens because they are ultimately so replaceable. Yes, it's easy. You just we need new spark plugs. Okay, but I just put spark plugs in. Yeah, but these are getting a little whatever. And your team missed 23 straight shots. He's the fall guy, Zabe. He becomes the fall guy.
But then again, as coaches we have worked with have told us, you are hired to be fired.
That is correct.
And that's the whole point of it. So let's say they ran it back with,
what was the guy's name again for Orlando?
Jamal Mosley.
Okay, let's say they run it back with Jamal Mosley. And let's say they make the playoffs and they win a series. And now they're in the second round, which is only not even halfway home to winning it all. And it happens again where they blow a 3-1 lead or he doesn't make the right adjustments.
You blew it.
You're going to go, oh my God, we wasted all this time. An effort, and he is who we thought he was, a guy that couldn't quite make adjustments when the game is unraveling. We should have fired his ass a year ago.
You were fired.
Right. Anytime a coach presides over a disaster, whether or not the disaster was his as the pilot or a loose lug nut on the engine.
Right. Blame it on the mechanics, yes.
Either way. Every future flight, you're worrying, going, it might have been the pilot.
Well, not like Sully Sullenberger. He saved the day. He didn't cause that plane's disaster, right? Sully.
But I would say that, who's
the guy again? Jamal Mosley. Not Murray. Not Mashburn.
Right.
What other Jamals can I name? Go, Jamal. It's a very common name.
Malcolm Warner.
I got Murray, Mashburn, Malcolm Warner.
Wilkes.
Jamal Wilkes, Silk.
Yep.
Football, there's got to be a lot of football guys.
Jamal
Khashoggi, the journalist who is killed.
Not Jamal. Close, though. Jamal Crawford was a basketball player. I remember.
Yes. Oh, Jamal Crawford with the tapes and Jordan, right? Wasn't he involved in or am I conflating stories?
I don't know.
Sally, Jamal Khashoggi was.
Oh, it was Jamal Khashoggi. You're right.
Jamal, yeah. So, dang.
I'm sorry.
On the board.
I was thinking of someone else. That's right.
So, anyway, Jamal Murray, Khashoggi guy.
Mosley.
Moses.
Quick, name some Mark.
Moses.
Mark
Mosley, one.
That's all I've got. It's probably a fairly common name. And this is Mosley, not like Mose with Mosely. But yeah. Yes, another team fired their coach. The Billy Donovan, right, Chicago, and Doc Rivers. I might be it so far.
They didn't fire me. I retired.
We parted ways.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to fire you tomorrow if you'd like to resign. Okay, let's part ways.
Right, exactly. They scored 19 points in the second half. Orlando.
That's not good. That's very bad. It's very, very, very bad.
It'd be one thing if they scored 19 after like a tie game, but they were up by what, 26 at one point?
Well, they were Banchero even said, he's like, we can't get out of the first round. We got to do something different. So they fired their coach the next day when your superstar was like, we can't go on this way.
That's
pretty easy to fire. Yeah. Although Franz Wagner, who's not Larry Bird or something, but is an important part of that team, was out, and they didn't win a game without him. So that was
guys go out. Yeah. You got to work around it. They can't use that as an excuse. The Magic were up at halftime 60-38. 22.
There you go, 22. Yep. Yep.
And then they proceeded to shoot. The second half.
11%, Zabe. 11%.
This one goes to 11,
37.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Quick, can you name your new Bucks coach, Zabe? Are you still a Bucks fan? I don't remember.
Yes. Taylor Malone.
Close. Taylor Jenkins.
Taylor Jenkins.
Who, when they replaced him with Doc, with him, I was like, wasn't that the Foo Fighters drummer?
That's Taylor Hawkins.
I know. And then I Googled Taylor Jenkins. Like, well, he's been the Memphis Grizzlies coach for six years.
He coached the Grizzlies, yes.
I had no, and sure. I couldn't, and okay. I couldn't have picked him out of Duke Ellington's band, as you say.
Oh, he looks like Fozzie Bear.
He does.
He does.
I still.
Brown face.
Yeah.
Red beard. Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, but I couldn't have picked out his name, his face, or that he coached for an NBA team for 6 years before being hired. So, not that maybe because I don't follow the league that much, and I know every NFL coach, I guess, but they are not as meaningful in the NBA, it certainly seems, because some coaches, yeah, you lose a player, even Popovich, the guy who's the greatest coach, all this and that, when they were the worst team in the league. That's why they got Wembanyama. Great coaches shouldn't lose 60 games a year. If you're good enough to win with great players, you should find a way with even the mediocre players. But it doesn't seem that way in the NBA. I don't know if Phil Jackson ever lost 60 games. So he had too much smudging to allow that to happen. But I don't know if that matters that much.
Who does our Phil impression? Is that you, Scott?
No, it'd be Solly.
Used to do you gotta have Phil say, well, I'm smart enough to always have top 50 players on my teams,
right? As well as
Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant,
yeah,
Shaq. That's the way,
or Scotty or whatever. So real quick on another coach, just because it rarely dawns on me, but it just does, and I heard Wendy talk about this, so I wanted to just throw it out there. The Houston Rockets were beaten by the LA Lakers. The Houston Rockets have a ton of young talent. They also were missing Kevin Durant in five of the six
games in the
series against the Lakers. So wait, so Sally, check this out. And again, they can't shoot. If Durant's not there, they really can't shoot. But they have Amen Thompson. They have Alperen Şengün. They have other stuff.
Those guys are okay.
But if KD's not there. Yeah. So the head coach is former Celtics, lead him to the finals, Ime Udoka.
Oh, yeah.
But the point that Wendy brought up, he's like, even if the Rockets would have won this series, and even if they have a great year next year, they're still going to be in the West where San Antonio lives and where Oklahoma City lives. So at best, Houston will be the third best team. So Ime Udoka is going to collect money. Like, how do you get that situation better was sort of Wendy's point. He's like, and if KD would have been healthy and they would have won, they still would have gotten a steamroll in the second round. Congrats, Ime. You're the third best at best.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a what are we doing here situation, you know. But you can't stop doing it. You got LeBron, right? You got to push LeBron out. They may have to if LeBron says, I want two more years.
Yeah, he'll be gone eventually. And his skills, even his skills will diminish and slow down.
Sally, he's 41 eventually. Like 3 years ago, they're like, yeah, he'll be gone eventually.
But he's still good. Well, Brady played to 44, and that's football, right? So,
but what did the Patriots do? They pushed him out. Now, they paid for it because he won a title in Tampa.
Yeah, it didn't work out. And then Belichick was gone, and luckily they found Drake May and Rossini's boyfriend. But,
So did you see – okay, so here's the odds for this second – like, the spiciness of the NBA playoffs is probably pretty much over. There's one interesting...
Well, Knicks Sixers is a toss-up, right?
No, Knicks are pretty heavy favorites.
Really?
-275 in the
series. Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
The Sixers team is pretty much stapled together.
If they stay healthy, they're very good. They got... You know, if Embiid and George can play all games this year.
I watched.
And Sally, you go bet them best of seven.
I won't. Yeah. I won't bet on these guys. But,
okay. Well, you're making a case like I'm an idiot for saying that Knicks are heavily favored. The Sixers are limping through this. They got lucky against Boston because Tatum
missed a game.
I would think they'd be that's the shortest line of any series. I mean, the Spurs are huge favorites. The Thunder are huge favorites.
Here are the lines. Ready? Pistons -135 against the Cavs. These are two fully intact, good matchup type teams. The Knicks are way better than the Sixers on most days. Doesn't mean they still can't blow the series, but they're -275. The Spurs are -900, and the Thunder are -2,000.
Wow, that's a lot.
And even though I don't need the dollar as much as I need the 2,000, I kind of want to bet OKC anyway, just because it's a sure thing. It's a sure dollar.
Right.
I mean, you never know. We've seen numerous superstars get hurt. SGA is one banana peel away from slipping and breaking his ankle, and then they're done. So you never know about this. With all these stars, with Anthony Edwards getting hurt, that's why the T-Wolves supposedly have no chance. So who knows?
So on the plus side, and of course they bake in a very generous spread for the house, but the plus side of it is – Lakers are +950, T-Wolves +600, Sixers +225, and the Cavaliers +110. So of those four, which series has the most juice for you guys? Knicks, Sixers?
Yes, definitely.
I can't get ginned up about Pistons, Cavs.
No, I can't either. That may be the best series. That may be a series that goes seven games.
Sure. Well, hopefully the We're Not Detroit Cleveland song is played often as the two teams are playing each other.
Oh, that's right.
We're Not Detroit.
Pope series.
Yes, it's the Chamber of Commerce moment. That should be, you know, our
these two horrible franchises in sports cities. They're wonderful sports cities, but who have won very little over the years.
Far and away, it's Philly and New York. I mean, Philly having beaten Boston, a basketball rival from yesteryear, I can honestly say, I was telling Sally during Monday's podcast, we went to a neighborhood dinner, and the first end was main courses, drinks, and the Kentucky Derby, front and center, complete with betting games, and it was freaking awesome, and hot brown, and delicious food, and everybody...
Hot brown?
Yeah.
Is that a horse?
No, you're not familiar with a hot brown?
Must be a Philly thing. Must be a Utica thing.
Sounds dirty.
It is I'll just go to Google. It's a Churchill Downs, it's a Louisville staple. A hot brown is and you'll love this.
It's a mint julep, but double the price.
No,
you could have said what it is literally 30 seconds ago.
No, I'm trying.
You're filibustering.
It is a rich, open-faced sandwich from Louisville, Kentucky. Are you ready? It features thick sliced turkey and bacon on toast, smothered in a creamy Mornay cheese sauce, and broiled until bubbly and browned, often garnished with tomatoes, paprika, and parsley. Created at the Brown Hotel in 1926, it is decadent comfort food that's traditionally served with a fork and knife. Oh, my. Yeah.
Meat and cheese. Yes.
It's a turkey bacon nacho sandwich on bread, basically. This cheese sauce that bubbles up. It is. I didn't even look what it is calorically, but they either call it a hot brown or Kentucky hot brown. It is quite possibly the least healthy thing that I've eaten in a long, long time.
I didn't know they serve these anywhere, but Louisville, it's a regional staple, I guess.
Must be a Utica thing, Sally. So anyway, someone made and brought hot brown or hot, Kentucky hot brown, and it was served and it was effing awesome.
It does sound more like a dirty sexual act, frankly. Yeah,
Anyway, so Zabe, we watched the race, had hot brown, had drank and laughed, and it was a neighborhoody thing. Then we went to house number two and we watched the Sixers Celtics. And I was into it. I was thinking Julius Erving. I was thinking Andrew Toney and Maurice Cheeks and Bobby
Cheeks
and Caldwell Jones and Moses Malone. And the Sixers of my Ute against those bastards from Boston. It was great to win that game. And I did have a wee moment. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
There is, by the way, Urban Dictionary entry for hot brown.
See? I figured there would be.
I'm sure there is.
This is your podcast, so I don't want to,
We'll probably have to edit it out. We try to be clean.
Performing on a person with poor hygiene, especially after the person has been working out.
Okay. Thank you for cleaning it up. I appreciate it. I figured there's a term.
We have one guy on our text thread that always sends these very definitions. Right. And we're like, JP, would you just give it a rest? It's a Monday morning.
It's just wonderful. Wonderful. Anyway.
Right, so you went to a Kentucky Derby, and did you wager on the horses amongst yourself?
Yes.
Paramutual betting?
The host had a game set up where all the horses were face against the wall on large post-it notes, but there were pictures and they were well drawn of horses.
Well, the horse, they all look the same, Scott. They're all large horses.
It was a blind draw because you didn't know what card you were taking. To enter that, it was $20. If you picked the eventual winner,
bucks.
there was no skill. Yeah.
So it was a random. It was a random draw,
like squares on a Super Bowl chart. Huh?
Yes.
Who drew the horsey pictures?
I think they were like either AI or printed out. I don't. Oh, you know what? I threw mine out.
Jamal Khashoggi, noted artist.
They were not drawn anything to likeness.
I think they were just horses, and it was like number 21. And I think I had a 50-1 shot.
Pictures of generic horses, which reveal the actual horses on the other side. That's very cool. The only horse I could have recognized was this one, Great White, the massive horse that was taller, that was 7.5
hands that high. Was that the 21, right? That flipped. Yeah. Yes.
Through the jockey. Got spooked.
Horrible moment.
Well, he was not, most of them are, look the same. Chestnut color, right? Isn't that the color of a horse? Chestnut?
Usually chestnut,
Or hot brown, whatever you prefer.
Exactly. Yes. Hot brown. Now I'm going to have to go look that up again because I want to see the filled in words. So anyways, Abe, they had the game where you just did a blind draw, $20, but they also had a Twin Spires account set up at the host's phone. And he's like, just, you want to play? And I played and I lost. I went with our friend Smoking Joe McKay. Creamer.
How many people were there?
12, 14 couples.
That's fantastic. Can I go into your neighborhood?
Sure.
In fact, can I have your life, actually? Let me just.
You don't want my life, trust me.
Sure?
I'm positive.
It sounds like it was fun.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And then we went to house two, and we watched the Celtics-Sixers game. And like I said, it just took me back to my youth. And I was actually, and I never do this, I was bitching at NBA referees. I was like, you guys are clearly in the tank for Boston. This crew sucks. And then to read Jaylen Brown, Sally and I touched on this on Monday's pod as well. Jaylen Brown calling Joel a flopper and saying that the referees had it in for Boston. I'm like, dude, you didn't see the play where you pushed Maxey into Embiid. That was not called at all. You didn't see several blown out of bounds that should have gone to replay and did, and they still effed it up.
Isn't Jaylen Brown like a MIT guy or science person?
Very smart.
He's very smart or something. Doesn't he know the refs are corrupt? I mean, come on. Didn't you get the memo when you got in this league, Jalen? That's what they do. Come on.
They are corrupt. However, I don't know if they were in the tank, per se.
No. They wanted Boston to win. I'm sure the refs now want the Knicks-Sixers team to win, because that's better for business if one of those teams make it rather than Cleveland or Detroit, yeah. I would think.
Right. Here you go, Scott, on the foul situation. Just checked. Under PF column in the box score, that'd be personal fouls?
Personal fouls.
NBA, you get 6 before you're told to go sit down.
Disqualified.
You're out of the game, disqualified. Nobody on Philly reached 6 fouls, and nobody on Boston reached 6 fouls. So, if you believe they called everything that was actually a foul, you're crazy. There is many more things that could and should and would have been fouls, but these referees have to decide which ones are the most
egregious. Swallow the old whistle, right, like in hockey fights or for the playoffs. Right. Yes, swallow the whistle, right?
Right. So in other words, there were many, many fouls that were not called by design, because they just don't foul people out anymore in the NBA like they once did. And I'm a proponent of getting back to doing that. Let's clean up the game. Let's stop all this roughhousing, you know?
There's
jumping guys around.
There's a guy who gets a lot of minutes off the bench. He played 33 minutes for the Boston Celtics. Nemias Queta. Yes, Queta.
Nemias.
He's a mess.
Yes, Queta.
He was 7 of 8 from the floor. He had 17 points. But he also Every time, and again, this is what I learned because I never wore the lanyard and blew the whistle of shame. Every moving pick this MF has is a foul. He'll grab like he's holding you from a lineman's stance. And I'm like, call you. And he's the first guy to throw his arms up and go, I got jobbed. Sit down. I'm glad he's home.
All right, other Nemiuses. Nemias Malone. Yeah, really. Nemias. He's the only Nemias.
Nemias Lynn.
How'd you like the fact that 3 of their starters didn't score a point in the elimination game? Garza, Shireman, and Harper Jr.
Yeah.
Zeros from 3 starters. Like, this team had been reduced to essentially Jaylen Brown, the recovering Jason Tatum,
Derek White.
And Derek White.
Yeah.
And a bunch of dudes you probably.
And
you
know, Peyton Pritchard nailed some stuff.
Peyton Pritchard is a scrappy, try hard guy.
Yep.
Sam Hauser's a hired gun shooter only. Kate is a big man, comes with 6 fouls. He had 17 points, 12 boards.
Well, when they won, they had these guys healthy, and Porzingis, who was really good when they were still winning together, but he's gone. So I don't know if they were that huge of a favorite. I mean, when Tatum was healthy the first couple of games and they were winning big, they were up 3-1. They're like, oh, the Celtics won't be stopped in the East. Like, maybe. Now they were.
Unbelievable. All right. Can we talk about hockey? Sally, I sent you some audio following Game 7 between Tampa Bay and Montreal. And, Zabe, by now, a lot of people have seen it. You probably saw it. You may have seen it on TNT immediately following the game. So Montreal, with just 9 shots, eliminates the Bolts on Sunday evening, early evening, because the late game was the drunk game, the 9-6 game between Colorado and Minnesota. And since then, you know, there have been more games. Philadelphia is going to continue to be choked out by Carolina. That's a Flyers team that I don't root for. Sorry to my neighbors and friends. But Carolina is just effing good. Anyway, Marty St. Louis, a Tampa Bay Lightning legend and currently the Montreal Canadiens head coach, pulled one out of the Zabe playbook as he congratulated his team following the Game 7 win. Solly's got the audio.
This moment reminds me so much of... We've done this before. We're not leaving! The show keeps going!
Beat his chest.
And then he starts beating his chest. And they all start beating their chest. Very Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. Not leaving! Scott, did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
All of it?
Good.
Wow.
Several times. Oh, no. That one I've seen several times. Didn't I tell you this? I think I did, actually.
There was a movie last week we mentioned that you're like, oh, I've seen that. I'm like, the whole thing? Wow.
I know. No, I saw, I mean, I've seen Wolf of Wall Street several times. And then I saw it again. Sonia's like, let's watch it because she had never seen it. I said, All right, but you got to know that it's pretty explicit. We watched it after the death of one of our dogs and the kids were all hanging out with us. Kaysen was, I don't know, 9 and he was watching Wolf of Wall Street. And Sonya then reaches over. Sonya then reaches over and puts hands over his ears and hands over his eyes. And she turns to me and she goes, "Why didn't you tell me it was this bad?" I go, "I told you it was explicit. I'm not going to describe what."
Did you watch Hot Brown the movie with the kids too, Scott? Jeez, I mean, what are you showing these children?
Sally, we've shown them Exorcist 1 and 2. I'm kidding. No, it was
like
a
shock
mistake.
Therapy.
Yes,
you're going to be so mesmerized by Jordan Belfort's character dragging himself limp on Quaaludes that you don't even remember your dog died. You'd be like,
"No."
Today earlier, I have no idea. Look at this.
It was terrible. And I think, Zabe, at another point in time, I think after this is like a Lynn morbid tradition. When dogs pass, we watch inappropriate movies. And whether it was, I think it was a Hangover. After
that's a good one.
Yes, okay. We're like shock therapy. There's your father of the year. I just lost it.
No, how about Jackass? That's another good palate cleanser.
Yes,
the movies are sort of like the sherbet in between meat.
Yes, the intermezzo.
Yes, the intermezzo. Yes.
Yes.
This is the intermezzo of life. Just make you completely forget because you're going, "What am I watching here? This is unbelievable."
Insanity.
Schindler's List. Any Friday the 13th movies would do.
Sure. There's a bunch of stuff that we'll just, whip out and show the kids just because it's fun at that point.
Let's end on this. Oh no, they've killed Prim. The little gaming town right on the southern border of Nevada and California is basically shutting down. It wasn't much to begin with, but because it was the very first place that you could legally gamble in the entire West, it kind of developed this kitschy little, "Hey, we got a couple casinos here." There was Prim Valley Resort, Buffalo Bills Resort and Casino, Whiskey Pete's Hotel and Casino. I believe there's a golf course down there. Well, because the tides and times change, Prim is closing, says Vital Vegas. Everything. Preliminary number is about 300 people will lose their jobs. The casinos and the resorts had already become virtual ghost towns. They will now become actual ghost towns. Expected date of separation is July 4th. Damn. I'd go one last time because I stopped there once briefly on my way driving up from UC Santa Barbara into Vegas. Good times back in the early 90s. It's like, "Yeah, we're in Prim." What is in Prim? Nothing, just a couple casinos, gas station, restaurant. But we can gamble. You want to pull some slots? You want to play some blackjack? I'd go again for old time's sake, but I don't know. I think I got better places to be than on the 250th anniversary of our nation's founding. Or Declaration of Independence, technically different, than to be in Prim, Nevada. We pour one out to you, Prim. Rest in peace, you dusty little tourist town. Thanks so much for listening and downloading. As always, spread the word. Rate and review. It helps tickle the algorithmic overlords. If you would like this podcast ad-free, hey, $5 a month will do it. You can get it for even less than that when you buy a year at a time. Otherwise, go month-to-month, cancel whenever you need to. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow, Scott and Sally, have a great Friday, everybody, and we will see you next time. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.